Thank you for tuning in to the very first episode of Like a Mustard Seed. This is the podcast of Bethany Theological Seminary, where we're here to talk about all manner of things, theological, global, and more. For this very first episode, we really want to look to change. As we await fall here in Richmond, we want to recognize some of the changes that have already taken shape for our seminary. Changes that don't just impact the school here, but also its work outward. With us today is our first guest, President of Bethany Theological Seminary, Jeff Carter. Jeff, thank you so much for being here. And getting us going, I really just want to ask the big question. Why the changes?
Yeah, it's a great question. Why does an institution rebrand? Especially one that's has such a heritage. So founded in 1905, you know, over 100 years old. We've been in this location for more than 20 years. So there's a certain permanence to the values, you know, spiritual empowerment, education rooted in a practical experience, strong biblical scholarship. So that you know, generation to generation stays the same. But with every message, it is to engage a new generation. And so we've had more than one logo, and we've had more than one tagline. And so it seemed appropriate that in this season, for us to revisit both the logo and tagline. And so taking those old values and investing them in a new logo and tagline, the hope is that people will see the outward change and wonder what's happening within the institution. And that's really what led us to that piece, because we are a dynamic institution that is looking to meet the needs of kind of this generation. And you know some of those, you know, debt is a huge issue. Ministry is changing. It's not necessarily congregationally based as much as it used to be. And the type of students changing. Mm-hmm. So those are internal changes. We're meeting those needs. So the logo and the tagline are external means to kind of signify that.
Cool. Now, it's not uncommon in the variety of institutions out there, Christian institutions, a lot have kind of formed their mission statements, their tagline, whatever we want to call it, really to aim themselves towards kind of this great commissioning language. My own experience to be in Make Disciples, that was the college ministry that I went to, and then the church that the partner that sponsored it, there was something very similar. Other churches in the area had a similar play. There was always this element of, you know, we're making disciples, we're sending people out into the world, or this and this. Whereas Bethany's is very simple, so that the world flourishes. Now, on the one hand, you could look in and one could see the great theological ramifications behind a statement like that. Other people could look at that and be like, so that sounds more worldly, isn't it?
Right. So no, that's exactly right. It like covers both, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, is that resistance that you've encountered? I mean, has there been, sadly, any kind of fallout as you've been rolling this out? Or has people been generally very positive, responsive? Have they seen it?
So those that have seen it, mm-hmm. have heard it, are generally very positive. You're right, though. It is one of the wonderful pieces about this is that you can place things that are part of our values and program in front of it to make disciples so that the world flourishes, to be pacemakers in Christ's image so that the world flourishes, to reconcile others so that the world flourishes. So it gives us flexibility. At root, it is invitational, which is, when you think of the gospel is invitational. And so this is so that the world flourishes, and it's an invitation to participate in the flourishing of the kingdom. So rather than hinge it on, you know, Matthew 28 and the Great Commission, or Matthew 25 and serving the least of these, or any one passage, you're looking at all of Scripture from beginning to end. And I love how Scott Holland says, Scripture begins in the garden and it ends in the city, and there is a tree in both. And that tree is flourishing, right? And you could say for the healing of the nations, for the giving of life. And so with the idea of flourishing, it is throughout Scripture, it's invitational, and it speaks to our participation in the coming kingdom, or the basileia, the promise of God. So it's these larger theological pieces. And for me, Stephen, you want to make a difference. I mean, at heart, you want to make a difference. You want to invest a life that God has given you in such a way that a difference is made in the life of someone else or the world. And so the world flourishes. And even that piece has a number of layers to it. I want you to flourish, right? So as the president, I want every student that's here, I want them to flourish. But I also want our faculty to flourish. Flourish in their scholarship, flourish in their writing, flourish in their teaching, flourish in their discipleship. I want the seminary to flourish. And I want folks to live their lives so that flourishing might continue in the lives, institutions, in the world around them. So there's like all these different meanings, which for good preaching, any text has multiple entry points. That simple tagline is expansive. You can't hook anything to it. So that's been the criticism. So you want to talk about criticism. Some folks will say, well, you can say baking chocolate chip cookies so that the world flourishes. No. At root, you know, we enjoy chocolate chip cookies here, but at root, that's not our mission. And so it has to be mission-focused to the seminary. But you take any aspect of our mission, you name it, studying Scripture so that the world flourishes, and the invitation is then there.
Excellent. So that allows us to go maybe beyond the initial impressions of this is just an academic institution. This is something that at its core is still that, you know, we're here, I'm taking classes, right. Students are taking classes, but it's the idea that, yes, we're this, but that doesn't mean we're only limited to this way, this tunnel of we put the students through and we move them outward. And hopefully we do something, hopefully they do something good by that. It's that, you want them to do that, but it's not just limiting to that. It sounds like this is really a reinvention for Bethany to open up its doors in so many other ways, or at least be open to the opportunities of a variety of services that some people would claim that institutionally you're locked into this,
yep.
This is how you do it. And you're like, no, yes, this is at heart what we are. We're a seminary. We are a place of educational learning. And we do that with a focus on understanding the word, but we're people. We're people, and we're trying to equip people. We're in a setting. We've been in a setting for a while. So you're looking at this. It's not just the academics. It's here's who they are, here's who we are, and here's where we are.
Right.
How are we doing that?
And we all don't have the same call. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about the logo is that it is Scripture. It's a book. And the pages are turning, so you see that in the kind of the blue flipping of pages, and then the color green, which is for growth, and yellow is for knowledge. Very simple. What's Bethany about? You look at our logo, in the opening of Scripture, so we grow and we find greater knowledge. Mm-hmm. But it's unending. So as those pages open, it may lead you to be a church pastor, it may lead you to be a missionary, it may lead you to be a Sunday school teacher, it may lead you to be a firefighter, I mean, or a social worker, or any aspect of life that you can share the blessings of God and invest those in the lives of others. And what we're finding is 50 years ago, so I talked to alums, right? 50 years ago, seminary provided you or prepared you for pastoral leadership in a congregation. And they taught you how to preach, how to do pastoral care, and how to administer programs. And the assumption was everyone on Sunday morning, because stores were closed and there was no soccer practice, everyone came to the church, they worshiped under the steeple, that's where you preached, that's where you did some pastoral care and you administered your programs, and then folks left and went back to their regular lives and the pastor went around and did visits and such. Ministry, and you've done campus ministry, ministry is radically different today. And so folks coming in, some want to serve traditional churches, but others, one of our students, Tom, he's in the Loire Valley of France planting churches, right? So you get these massive cathedrals, but the young people that are around those cathedrals see those more or less as historical markers and places where tourists go, and yet they're hungry for some good news. And so Tom is collecting those folks around a simple table, breaking bread, having fellowship, and then entering in a deep conversation, and around those tables, then we find new churches are being born. Completely different way of doing ministry.
Yeah.
So we have someone else who's got a garden church, And what she does is, you know, they plant a garden, they set a table, they invite the homeless folks and whoever else is around to come and eat together. And wherever there's a table, that's an image of the kingdom of God, sinner and saint, young and old, rich and poor. And there a church has sprung up in the middle of a garden. So I think right now we're in such a radical time of transformation that we need to be as open and as nimble as possible so that people can bring their call to seminary, explore what it means, and then live into that call rather than, you know, as you were saying, some prescribed program where they're going to go out and be the certain pastor that the church has created.
Yeah.
I think it's exciting. It's a little off-putting because, you know, you'll ask me, well, what do people do with a seminary education? And the answer is everything. And you have so many folks that are coming now to invest that education in very secular jobs. But again, that's the gospel.
Yeah.
Right? It's the Abrahamic blessing. You are a blessing. Go and be a blessing to others. And so ministry, while the church, Protestant church in America is diminishing, I think opportunities for ministry is expanding.
I would agree. It has been a radical shift in the way that people perceive and understand ministry, and it has been several of the conversations that I've overheard, and even in my short time here.
Yeah.
So this is the grad school level. I mean, any student coming in here is at least a bachelor's.
Right. They've got a bachelor's degree, and many, like yourself, have some type of experience that they're bringing in.
Yeah.
The piece in all of this, though, and you know, is that if you're out, you know, being a better Sunday school teacher, or if you're being a good social worker or a pastor, you still need the basics.
Yep.
Right? You need a firm understanding of Scripture. You have to have a broad knowledge of theology.
Yes.
And you have to practice and refine those relational skills so that you can communicate, either by word or deed, with others. And I think for some in the wider religious community, there is a diminished value on those educational experiences, either because they think it's going to be rote or that it's not needed. But I think all of us need to practice, if it's of value, we need to practice those skills of reading Scripture, of doing theology, and practicing the practices. If you want to be a good soccer player, you know, I'm a big soccer fan, you don't just buy shoes one day and go out and play.
Nope.
Right? You learn the skills, you practice, you learn the skills, and at some point then you're ready to go out and play the game. And in ministry, it's the exact same thing. I mean, there's this discerning piece that the Spirit is with us. But the Spirit prepares mm-hmm. and works with those who prepare. And so that's an important relationship. And I think that's why theological education is so important.
I'd agree. Well, that's the interesting thing. I say that they have the bachelor's degree because it is such an intermix then. People come in and they have their, whatever they've tried to discern in their life prior. For me, it was, how do I integrate this undergrad, this enjoyment for all things camera and lenses, and even what we're doing now. How do I integrate that into what I'm doing? And the theological education here, you really break it down, and maybe everywhere, but certainly my experience here has been, it's not just been about understanding, you know, the elements of the history of the New Testament. It's how we discern and process, understand, and integrate all of that together. You know, maybe not everything in the moment can immediately resonate, but everything as a whole begins to resonate so much more. And it is a wonderful thing thus far. I think it's a fantastic new tagline. And I love it. It's so open, broad-ended, and I think that's a strength.
I do, too.
I think it is fantastic. I mean, obviously, it wouldn't be out there, right?
Well, I think the other thing is, when we talk about the world flourishing, we're not talking about one group or one people.
Yep.
So, Stephen, in your time here, you realize we are a diverse lot, theologically, from perspective, ages. And if we're going to be folks engaged in the world, we have to be conversational. And the only way you're conversational is to know, or at least to listen to the perspectives of others so that you can engage them thoughtfully. And that's a whole other piece. But when you look at all of those words, right, so that the world flourishes, you can talk about all, you know, for God so loved the world, all of the world, and flourishing, which is clearly a kingdom concept, we've got to be engaged.
Yes.
And we can't just be engaged with what we know and who we know. We've got to be engaged with the whole world. So that invitational piece is huge.
It is. I'd like to just throw this out there then, as we kind of move from that. I'm curious, what is Bethany doing to see that then lived out? I mean, we've already talked about the intentions, the hopes, and how kind of are already normal processes. Students come in, they study, they learn, they go out into the world. How we hope that already impacts them. But while they're here, like, what are some of the ways that, or in the wider area of Richmond that Bethany resides, like, what is it that we're doing then? Because we can talk about it in theory,
right. But
then what's the practicality end of it?
Well, and I was a pastor for 20 years, and you gotta do both the global and the local,
mm-hmm.
and that was one of the pieces with Bethany. You know, how are we a community partner? We've been here since 1994, and on the campus of Earlham College, and we have some relationship in the community, particularly through our faculty and staff. But how are we known as an institution? And so, you know, we start renovating some houses for our students so that they'd have a place to stay and we could start reducing the cost. So that's how that led us to our debt-free education promise now for residential students. But a key component was our students are our best ambassadors. So part of that no-debt promise and the Pillars and Pathways scholarship was for our students then to volunteer in the community. And my favorite story is Martin from Germany, you know, comes and lives here for a semester doing a certificate and speaks German, obviously he's German. And the Historical Society, it was a placement. He went to the Historical Society to volunteer 2 hours a week. He speaks German. They ask him what he can do. He says he can speak German. And sure enough, they had a bunch of German documents. This was a Lutheran town in background. They had a bunch of German documents that they wanted translated. So Martin went there every week, volunteered, and translated these documents. Huge service to the community, right? He was able to serve in the community, which was part of his no-debt promise through the seminary. But more importantly, it was a relationship. And you know that everyone that came in contact with Martin not only knows Martin, but also knows that he was a student of Bethany Theological Seminary, you know, the largest seminary for the Church of the Brethren. We're the only one, but that's how the gospel grew, you know, as far as the church. It's that one-to-one relationship, right? Friends brought other friends to Jesus, and the relationships grew. That's how you're known in your ministry. It's by the interaction. We can do it through a tagline. We can do it through a logo. We can do it through a pamphlet. But for it to have an impact, it's got to be through people. And we've got some of the greatest people. So the Richmond community is getting to know us through our students, our faculty and staff. We're doing a lot of promo, so we're sponsoring events in the local community. Mm-hmm. So going where folks are already meeting for bike rides and for the symphony and for a farm-to-table banquet. So hooking into the values of the community and then sharing how those values communicate. So I was at this event for the farmers market, and to say that the world flourishes to a bunch of good farmers, man, that connects, right? They want to see the world flourish, all the corn, but to get the greater meaning of, you know, our spiritual development and such. So being out and being able to communicate with folks, you see our presence in the Richmond community is growing.
And staff as well. I think I went a couple weeks back, I went with them over to the Gateway food pantry. I had the opportunity.
Oh, did you go?
I did.
That's fantastic.
So I would have been there the other day. I just have a large gaping nail or piece of metal in my tire.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, that would prevent it.
Prevent me from going a lot of places for about another 4 or 5 days now. Get back with that. Yeah, so that is a good thing to hear. That is a wonderful thing to hear that. It's not just about what we're doing internally and how we're trying to communicate that to students who will then go out, but it's the realization that, yeah, it's a seminary, it's a institution that full of people that know, love God, and have the same calling, vision, passion as Christ did to serve and feed the world. It's really amazing to see that. We're just looking beyond any kind of constrictions that might already be prefaced by our title.
We have to. I mean, we have to be missional in nature. You know, Missio Dei, the sending of God. It's it's got to be a part of who we are, and we can't limit it just to one aspect.
Yeah.
It's got to, and that's the integrity of ministry. I mean, that's something both of us have experienced in our ministry, is that people look and they watch us and they listen to us, and if there's not an integrity to who we are and how we're living, then we often kind of lose credibility. And I think it's the same thing for a seminary. Every aspect, from the use of our building, because we're opening our building, once it's renovated, we're opening it up to the community, from the use of our building to our program to the sending of our students to the time of faculty and staff, there should be an integrity within it that speaks to our faith. So in the next 2 weeks, we're having a seminary service day, working in a park so that the world flourishes. And we've invited everyone to participate. And they're not clocking out. This is paid time at work, but going out to serve, because we want to be known as a service seminary.
That's fantastic. So I think we're going to start to wrap things on up. I have asked all that I had intended to ask, and I think you've done a wonderful job of covering it. But sometimes I, as a flawed human being, just forget to ask that question that would bring you to the thing that you've been wanting to say. So with that, is there anything else that you want to add before we kind of wrap ourselves on up?
So this conversation is a perfect example of not knowing what's coming down the road, right? So I had no idea this was one of your gifts. I had no idea this was one of your interests. I didn't realize that you would be bringing this to the seminary as you were coming. But knowing that, taking full advantage of what you have to give, Stephen. So it's when you open yourself up to possibility, mm-hmm. possibility happens. And this was a possibility that I didn't know that we took advantage of, and I'm just grateful you're at the seminary. And hopefully you see this as a ministry, because clearly we do. So thanks.
I love every second of it. So it's been a blessing. And this has been a wonderful first podcast.
Thanks.
So thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us for our first episode of Like a Mustard Seed, and please stay tuned. Join us again in a couple weeks and we'll have a fresh cast ready for your ears. In the meantime, you can keep track of all things Bethany through our social media, on our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram, soon to be Snapchat, and others. But most importantly, in the meantime, go out there, go forward, so that the world flourishes.